You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Hour two on this Friday. It's a meat Friday technically, but we have salmon on the Traeger. Come on in, stay a while. Glad to have you on board. You're listening, you're watching, you're emailing, tweeting, all the above. NFL World descends on Provo, Utah this morning to watch Zach Wilson's pro day workout. According to most draft experts, the BYU quarterback has a great chance to be the number one overall pick or number two overall pick. But it's funny when you hear about his rise, right now it seems like it's a no-brainer. Keep in mind, this is a quarterback who threw 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions the season before. So he wasn't even guaranteed the starting spot coming into this season. He was great in 2020. Still, the one-year wonders have mixed results, and scouts will tell you that. It's really hard to assess 1 year. Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray went number one overall with one good season, and both look promising. But on the other hand, you have Mitchell Trubisky and Dwayne Haskins, who didn't work out. And we're still a little over a month out on the NFL draft. And maybe another quarterback will make a move up, take Wilson's spot in a mock draft. We tend to move these guys around like they're chess pieces. But for now, Wilson is the guy. I doubt that's going to change after he works out in shorts today. We, of course, will keep an eye on his stats. Nobody gives you pro day stats quite like the Dan Patrick Show does. And I think a lot of things can happen leading up to the draft and even during the draft, as I've talked about ad nauseum. There are teams that are lurking to move up. And this is what you have to understand. If you don't get your quarterback this year, you're not getting your quarterback next year. This is quite a talent pool that you have. And in the previous year was quite a talented quarterback pool. And by most observations, next year's quarterback lot is not great. If you're going to get your quarterback, you're going to have to go get him this year. Therefore, the strategy is a little bit different for these teams. You're not just sitting and waiting. You're going to have teams that are going to make moves to try to get up as high as possible because there are no guarantees. We know Trevor Lawrence is going one. I'm going to assume Zach Wilson will go number two. I feel like Carolina, Atlanta, maybe Denver, somebody's going up there. Justin Fields, Trey Lance. You still have Mac Jones in the mix as well. That's what's going to happen here on draft night. You're going to have some teams that are going to try to maneuver to get up there. And you're going to have one or two teams, maybe they don't get to make that move, but we'll find out after the fact that there are going to be teams that are going to go up and try to get their quarterback. I don't know who that is. Somebody had mentioned San Francisco. Somebody had mentioned Denver moving up. Here's one for you. Seattle Seahawks. John Schneider was in Green Bay when Green Bay took Aaron Rodgers when they still had Brett Favre. At the time, they weren't sure what Brett was going to do, so I understand that. But I just wonder if you're Seattle, and Seattle was interested in Josh Allen, Seattle was interested in Patrick Mahomes from what I'm told. It feels like everything is not back to normal with Seattle, with Russell Wilson, but it feels like everybody is playing nice. They've gone to their neutral corners here. I just don't know what Pete Carroll is willing to do. Do I think they have a GM who would trade Russell Wilson and John Schneider? I do. But Pete Carroll is the one who's running the show here. And Pete's not a young guy. And I don't think at this stage of his career that he wants to entrust his team with a young quarterback. But I just put that out there from the standpoint of John Schneider's history. I haven't heard Seattle come out and say, we're absolutely not trading him. Remember what Mark Cuban did with Kristaps Porzingis? There was talk that he was going to be traded. There were rumors that he was going to be traded. Cuban came out and said, let me be the first to say, this is not happening. He's not being traded. And he wasn't traded. I haven't heard anybody from Seattle side of things that just says, are you kidding me? This is the franchise Hall of Famer. He is Mr. Seattle. We're not trading him. We still haven't heard that. Russ has said he still wants to stay there, but if you want to trade me, here's where I'd be willing to go. I haven't heard anything from Seattle. Why not? That's why I just throw out the hypothetical for the time being. Would they move up? Or is everything back to normal and Russ is going to be there at least one more year? You can't get your quarterback next year. That would mean you'd have to wait another year if you're Seattle. Something to factor in. Yeah, Paul.
And Seahawks, I think, did they trade their first round to the Jets? Did the Jets have their pick?
That's the Jamal Adams, two first-round picks.
So that hampers that, even that as a policy, as a philosophy.
I know. I know. Yes, McLovin.
That means they have to trade Russell Wilson to get in that. There's no drafting a top five guy without, to the Jets.
Yeah.
Or the Dolphins.
Well, they wanted to do that. They want to get those two first-round picks back because they gave up two first-round picks for Jamal Adams. But Russell Wilson is the one who holds, he has the leverage. He can say, I don't want to go to the Jets. And they are doing some things. You know, the offensive line is, I guess better. Chris Carson is back. I like him. He's just never healthy. Carlos Dunlap, they're bringing him back. Okay. To me, it just feels like two steps forward, two steps back for Seattle. Like they don't feel any more threatening. But I don't know what Pete Carroll's philosophy is on all of this, but Pete is running the show there. Yeah, McLeod.
General philosophical question. So quarterbacks, say there were four in the top six. That doesn't mean they're four of the best six players. It feels like teams are just really securing that spot.
Yes. Yeah. As I said to you yesterday, I had a source who said, aside from Trevor Lawrence, the most certain thing in the draft is Patrick Surtain, the defensive back at Alabama. And then after that, it's Penny Sewell, the offensive lineman at Oregon. This is somebody who is looking at these players, breaking down their tapes, and said that those are the two can't miss aside from Trevor Lawrence. But nobody does that. You don't go, hey, we're going to take a defensive back here, or we're going to take you might take an offensive lineman in the top five, and probably that'll happen, but you're looking for your quarterback. It's supply and demand. If you don't go up and get them, they're not going to be waiting for you. Yeah, Paulie.
And like you said, there's not a class of quarterbacks, at least as of right now for 2022, but there will still be quarterbacks drafted in the top 15. It doesn't matter what if they're, Sam Howell of North Carolina, or is it Slovis from USC? Yeah. Those guys will still, by default, have to go in the top 15.
Yes, but how good are they? I mean, that's really the key, because we look at Trey Lance, really a one-year wonder, and that was quite a year. Justin Fields, you have a little bit more to go on there. Mac Jones, one-year wonder. I have no idea. Trevor Lawrence, obviously, a larger sample size there, and by all accounts is destined for greatness. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, Zach Wilson, definitely a one-year wonder.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yes, and that's what would make me nervous drafting one of these quarterbacks. I got 1 year. I just don't know. And I want to see how you handle adversity. I want to see those things. That's why when I look at Tua, he already showed me a lot by coming back after what he came back from. Now I just want to see if he is a legitimate franchise quarterback. I just don't think he has the arm. Is he going to have that playmaking ability, that mobility? I don't know that. I wasn't all in on Tua because I don't know how to judge an Alabama quarterback. And I joke with Mac Jones, or at least he thought I was joking, but I was being serious. I truly think I could have thrown 10 touchdown passes in the Alabama offense. I'm watching the highlights, and I got nobody rushing me, and I got wide receivers who are wide open. Like the wide part of a wide receiver is you're wide open at Alabama. Like, just get the ball. Wait like 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and I'm going to throw the ball to Devontae Smith. Where's the defensive? Well, he's not there. But Mac Jones is athletic, deceptively athletic. But I don't know. But that's what these teams, and in this COVID era, you can't really be there and be around them. And just that, too, adding more to the mystery here. Yeah, Paulie.
I'll tell you, I've been listening to a lot of people cover Zach Wilson of BYU the past 3 weeks. I think people are this close. Some analysts are this close to saying they like him more than they like Trevor Lawrence. And I think they're scared to do it. I was listening.
Well, Chris Sims did that.
Yeah, and he was comfortable saying it. But Dan Orlovsky was gushing about Zach Wilson, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, yeah, to the point where I bet if you asked him off the air, he'd say he likes him better. But it's a tough road to go down.
Yeah, Seton.
It kind of feels like it's Zach Wilson's turn.
This week, because
like 2 weeks ago, you know, it was...
Yeah, and you know, Justin Fields is going to make a comeback here, guys. Just letting you know, prepare for that, because he got kicked to the curb a little bit, and now he's making a comeback. Mac Jones had his day. Zach Wilson has his day. Trey Lance is still sort of there, but I feel like he's the sneaky one, that there are teams that really love Trey Lance because I don't have to play him for the first 2 years. But Trey Lance is the one I think is even more intriguing of all these quarterbacks here. Yeah, McClub.
I think people are going to move Zach Wilson off number two. Because what does a guy ever say at number two for the entire mock draft? The thing that's coming up with the Ohio State Justin Fields, he says he's going to run a 4.3 40. I don't know if that's true, but imagine if he does. I don't know what it means, a quarterback running a 40, but he tweeted that the other day, and everyone's like, oh my God, he's the next Lamar Jackson.
If he runs a 4.3 40, I'm going to guess people are going to be, you know, going gaga over this.
But is that important for a quarterback?
I mean, it's nice that my quarterback is really fast. Can he throw the football? Like, that's where I start. Can you throw guys open? How are you, you know, commanding an offense, processing in real time? Are you a leader? What happens when you throw an interception? Like, those are the things that I want to know. Do you love football? Not, man, that guy's fast. It's just, I bring this up because it happened to me so many times. You'd go play a pickup game of basketball, and there'd be a guy who would be jumping out of the gym. And I'd be like, oh, my God, this guy's going to dominate. And then you start to play and you realize all we can do is jump out of the gym. And then you fake him up and then he would go up and then you'd go, I'll make the layup. And I went, oh my God, this guy can't play. But he looked unbelievable in warmups. Yes, he.
Maybe you could spin it into saying that Mac Jones was throwing those guys so wide open.
That's how
they got so open, because he was throwing them open.
No. I saw the defenses where well, I didn't see the defenses in the highlights. It'd be like Devontae Smith is, and I'd be like, wow, he's wide open.
Yeah, see, I threw him that wide open.
Yeah, yes, McClellan.
But that makes me wonder about Devontae Smith, because I don't know if that was scheme or Devontae Smith is just way faster than everybody.
Oh, he's got that extra gear.
Right, but so was Waddle and Mechie. They were wide open too.
But Devontae Smith has that extra gear where he turns the corner, and I saw this against Notre Dame. He turned the corner, and you got the angle, and he just has something a little bit extra there.
Doesn't Waddle have that too to some degree?
I guess, but we didn't see him last year.
Yeah, that hurt.
But that's what I still liken him to Anthony Carter. If you're familiar with the former Michigan wide receiver, he was all legs, but he was slight, but he was fearless, and he was great. And that's what I see with Devontae Smith. I don't know if I want my number one receiver who's that slight. Normally we put you in the slot, but hey, if you're great, you're great, and you're going to take advantage of him. Yeah, Paulie.
I was just looking up Trey Lance's bio.
Yeah.
I assume Trey was, he's the third, like he's Richard Lance and it's the third. It's just Trey. His dad is not, he's not the third of anything. He's just Trey Lance. That's his full name.
Discover the story of one of the most notorious serial killers ever, John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise. There's new footage, new audio, new details straight from the killer's mouth. 6-part docuseries streaming exclusively on Peacock. Sign up at peacocktv.com to stream now. Clark Kellogg will join us. We got basketball coming up this weekend, the Sweet 16. Also, please, if you remember this, tomorrow watch Connecticut against Iowa women's basketball. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And you might be entertained. 1 p.m. Eastern, Connecticut women, the Iowa women, and I think you're going to see a lot of fun basketball there. Paige Beckers is the real deal. Caitlin Clark at Iowa is the real deal. Just fun, back and forth, and get an opportunity, write it down, remember it, but that's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Nick in Pittsburgh. Hi, Nick. What's on your mind today?
Hey, morning, Dan. 5'10", a buck 80. Awesome. Hey, first, man, it is an absolute privilege to get through and talk to you. I'm turning 30 today. If you got any advice on that front, that would be awesome. Quick suck it back road. Not so much Fritzy. I'm a Fritzy guy. So McLovin, sorry, you got to take the brunt of that. Question when you say, you know, you got to can't miss and Trevor Lawrence. I understand we got to say those things about guys in the draft, but we have busts every year on those can't miss guys. So, you know, is that something different about Trevor or, you know, something we got to say about someone every year?
Well,
appreciate the time, man. Love the show. No one calls in and says they hate it. So thanks again.
Thank you, Nick. Happy birthday. Turning 30. I just know 30 seemed really old when I was in my 20s. I'd kill to be 30 now. I'd kill to be 40 now. I don't know what kind of advice I'd have for a 30-year-old. I don't know if Nick's married. Does he have kids? I guess I should have kept him on. Yes, Todd?
What advice would you have for a 30-year-old Dan Patrick? You know, people do that thing. They write themselves letters, then they read it years from now.
I would not take questions like this from you. would be one thing that I would probably not do. No, I think I would not be in a hurry. Because when I was 30, I thought my career in this business was over because I wasn't where I thought I was going to be. So I would tell myself, slow down, you know, you'll survive. Talent survives, and you just get your opportunity, but you make the most of it when you get that opportunity. Yeah, Pauline.
I think I'd tell a 30-year-old, let's say this guy who called in was single. When you turn 30 and you're a guy, your mom sometimes gives you a little heat. You ain't getting married, you ain't getting engaged. You get a little of that if you turn 30 and you're not engaged or married yet. Don't buy into it. You only want to do it once.
I think that used to be the case.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, I'm not pressuring my kids to get married. My son's getting married, but I don't pressure my daughters to get married. I'm like, I don't want you to get married. You can stay at home the rest of your life as far as I'm concerned. Like, don't leave me. But yeah, I don't know. It's a 30-year-old. Yes, McLovin.
This is terrible and really mean, but I hope you invite me to your daughter's wedding because I want to see how much you cry because I feel like you've been talking about that because I'm going to cry 1,000%. Is that terrible to say?
How about I just give you the video then I don't have to invite you?
That's fine.
But I got three daughters that I have to do this with.
The music's playing, you're walking down the aisle, you have no chance.
And I remember, you know, Ernie Johnson had great advice. He said, you know, you have to remember that it's a positive thing. And it's not a sad day. It's a positive thing. But I just don't want to be like heaving as I go down the aisle. Snot running down my nose and I look over at my daughter, and you know, she looks beautiful. And
everyone's going to expect you to give a speech. You're a well-spoken guy. You're a well-known guy. You're never going to make it.
I already said to my wife, I have to give a speech at the rehearsal dinner for my son. And I said, we're giving this. Like, I can't do it. And she goes, oh, you can do this. You speak for a living. I go, I can't do this. I mean, I'm not dissecting Russell Wilson's future in Seattle. I got to say something poignant. Maybe if I include like Russell Wilson's future and I give people an update on Russell Wilson that I can make the transition into. And, you know, we love Jack's wife, Rebecca, and we just so happy to have her in the family. And she's like another daughter. Yes, McLovin.
I could be in the crowd. I'd give you a poll update if things get hairy. Yeah. Will this last? Yes or no? 100% say yes.
I could have you guys raise your hand as you do on the show, and I go, yes, Todd. And then you could do mock headlines.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And then I can't be emotional.
You really want Todd doing mock headlines at your daughter's wedding?
Yes.
Or your son's wedding?
Yes.
Any wedding whatsoever?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Talk about like best man speeches going wrong.
Ooh.
Then you're inviting the toddler in with all of his bag of tricks
and
of issues.
I've already told the best man, brevity is really important when you give your speech. The best man speech should not be more than 5 minutes at the most. at the most, and I would probably do 3 minutes. Three, maybe four at the most. Don't tell inside jokes. Don't make fun of what his life was like with old girlfriends. Don't do any of that stuff. Nothing. Because you know what? You're not funny. You're not. You're not. Yes, Eden.
Right. It's like, you know what? That might be the lesson that I would tell 30-year-old me. You're not as funny as you think you are. That's a hard lesson for people to learn. You're not as funny as you think you are.
I went to one, and best man speech was, it was ticking over 15 minutes.
Oh.
And he's telling stories, but they're really stories that like four people, he's got a beer in his hand.
Me and Murph were in South Padre Island.
You wouldn't believe what he did. He came back to the room and he had not one, but two. And then you're going, no, we didn't see him for 3 days. Like, oh, that's not good. Yes, Todd.
Imagine being on stage and pausing for that moment where the humor and the laughter is supposed to come.
Yeah.
And it's just dead silent.
And you know that feeling.
I sure do.
You know that feeling.
Like, wait a second. This is where they're supposed to laugh. I guess I'll just go on to the next thing and start cursing and see what happens.
Oh, gosh. All right. Let me take a break. Clark Kellogg is going to join us coming up on loan from CBS. We'll get to more phone calls as well. It's 23 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Built Bar, great stuff. In fact, this is what happened this morning. We have Meat Friday, salmon is on the grill, and I'm not going to eat anything this morning. But I still wanted to have something just so I was ready to go, you know, energized, ready to go. So I went out and got a Built Bar. And that will kind of tide me over until we have our food coming up at noon Eastern. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code DP10 at checkout. Get 10% off your order. So many great flavors with this protein bar. Cookies and cream. Who would have thought? My favorite. Salted caramel. Is there 16 or 18 flavors, Todd?
It's at least 18. And then I came across something yesterday. Now they have a Puffs version of Built Bar. Like it's like a marshmallowy, soft. It's like I was in heaven. I might have grabbed a couple of those on the ride home.
I did put those out there yesterday. Are those still out there yesterday?
For the most part, they're out there, but I definitely grabbed one or two for the ride home, and I'm like, wow.
BuiltBar.com, promo code DP10. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marino, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marino. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marino on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
This program brought to you by Capital One. What's in your wallet? We'll talk to CBS college basketball analyst Clark Kellogg, a man who had a great nickname growing up. He was Special K. Kellogg's Special K. He led his high school to the state championship, and he scored 51 points in the state championship, which I think is still the record there. So we'll talk to Clark Kellogg. He'll join us coming up. McLovin, update the poll results if you can.
Okay, who's the favorite to come out? Your favorite to come out of the West? The Lakers are running away with it. The Jazz and Clippers are a distant second. So nobody's buying into the Nuggets. They're last place.
I like what they did, but I just want to see what you do when you have to do it. There are regular season teams that are, you know, that they're really good. And then you get to the postseason and they sort of fall apart. Or you figure them out when it's a 7-game series. That's what I want to see with some of these teams. Like Phoenix showed me a lot in the bubble last year, and they've carried that over during the regular season. Now I want to see what happens when they get into the postseason. Utah, same way. They've done everything that you want, but it's still not enough because it's the regular season. Yeah, McLovin.
Doesn't this question feel like it really hinges on the Lakers' health, though? Like, can you really answer this question without knowing exactly where they'll be in 5 weeks?
Yeah. I don't know where they're going to be seated, and then I don't know the availability of LeBron and AD. And that injury with Anthony Davis, like, that That can linger, and so can a high ankle sprain with LeBron as well. Let's bring in Clark Kellogg, CBS Sports college basketball game and studio analyst, who is set to join us, I think. Todd says no. Clark is not there yet. There's a lot of talking going on the other side here. Yes, Todd?
Clark is reconnecting from the power of Zoom.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. Let me get a couple of phone calls. Adam in Florida. Hi, Adam. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
First time, long time, 63250. Just wanted to get your take on, with all the possible legal trouble Deshaun Watson could be facing, Houston Texans might have an out. Or are you thinking they might be able to move up in the draft and get the QB for them?
I don't think they can do anything with Deshaun Watson right now. Adam, but thanks for the phone call. I mean, there's nothing you can do. I think that he's going to be suspended or put on the commissioner's exempt list, but thanks for the phone call, Adam. I think they're kind of stuck here, and I don't think there's anything the Texans can really do. Mike Floria had a good article on Pro Football Talk where this might be a situation similar to Ben Roethlisberger, who had off-season two issues, and then he was suspended by the commissioner for 6 games, reduced to 4 games, and talking about, basically conduct detrimental, and he does have the power to do that. The question is, if this was the regular season, he'd be put on that commissioner's exempt list, right? Yeah, Paul?
What a weird situation. Imagine being in charge of the Texans, and you thought that at the worst-case scenario, this guy might hold out. At least you had the option of trading him. Now it's like it's a frozen situation.
Yeah, McLovin.
And they, they gave up that pick for Laremy Tunsil. It almost feels like they have to wait to rebuild next year. If we've no Deshaun, they have Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Finley. That sounds like a tank, and everyone's gone. J.J. Watt's gone. Everyone's gone.
But I guess the best case scenario is Deshaun Watson isn't charged with anything, or he settles out of court. Then you have to. I guess the moral police come in a front office to say, do we want to take on somebody like this who settled out of court? Have him as our franchise, the face of our franchise here. What kind of, draft picks do you get in return now? Do you get less because of what's going on with Deshaun Watson? And that's why, the Texans didn't want to entertain any offers. And they could have done something in January because teams certainly were calling. But when you called, they would talk about anybody but their quarterback. Now, is anybody still calling there? So it's tricky for them. There's a couple of teams where you're just wondering what they're doing at the quarterbacking position. I still wonder about Green Bay. What does Pittsburgh do? You got Ben. Okay, now what do you do? Denver, they're not sold on Drew Lock. So what happens there with Drew Lock? San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo. We went through this a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, where I said you probably have 10 teams right now who are settled on their quarterbacking position. 10. And that includes Brady, which I don't know how long he's going to play. Is Seattle settled on Russell Wilson? Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Yeah, McClub.
Do you remember when Adam Schefter sent out that tweet or something about 18 quarterbacks changing? Like, it could end up being close to true. I mean, I don't know if that many are.
Well, Watson's not. Ben is still there. I'm assuming Russell Wilson will be there to start the season with Seattle. Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco. Are they going to bring in Gardner Minshew and then they're settled with a quarterback position this year? Yeah, Paul.
I'm glad you mentioned the Niners because they have the 12th pick in the draft. I didn't even know that. You think they're a better team? That 12th pick, someone could slide to them. They could be sitting there and drafting going, oh, this person's available. And they may not want to draft a quarterback at this point, but it could fall right to them.
Todd, if Clark Kellogg can't Zoom in, we can still talk to him via phone. Just saying, we could do it over the phone.
He is going to join us next hour at 11:25.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying that, we somehow did this for over a decade where people would call in, via phone instead of Zoom. So we're okay with that. All right, so Clark Kellogg will join. I'll put away my research here on Clark Kellogg, and I'll just put it right over there. Jeff in South Carolina. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
Morning, Dan. First time, long time. 5'1", 320. have I was wondering, out of the four draft picks of quarterbacks last year and the four projected quarterbacks this year that are going to go in the draft, who do you think has the better chance of making the playoffs this year?
Wait, run that by me again.
The four top four quarterbacks last year, Burrow, Tua, Hurts, and Hebert, and the four projected top four quarterbacks this year in the draft, who do you think has the better chance of making the playoffs this year?
All right. I think I understand what Jeff is saying. The quarterbacks taken last year, who has the better chance of making the playoffs this year, McLevin?
I think he was saying last year's class, who has a better chance of making the playoffs, those guys or the guys who go this year?
I don't know where they're going.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, Miami could have had one last year and this year.
Yes.
So how does that fit in?
Yeah.
But he was being clever calling Justin Herbert Hebert,
yeah. I would guess Miami would be the team, because the Bengals aren't going to make the playoffs. The Chargers should make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, we've heard that story before with the Chargers, loaded with talent, but...
Yeah, I know. But I don't know what's going to happen with this year's draft picks. Trevor Lawrence is not leading Jacksonville to the playoffs this year. Zach Wilson goes to the Jets. They're not making the playoffs. I don't know where Mac Jones is going. Trey Lance, does he go to Atlanta? Justin Fields,
Carolina's probably not quite there yet, if they get one.
No. That's why they're in the position to take a quarterback, because you're not normally there with a good team. Jeff in Detroit joining us. Hey, Jeff.
What up, though? One time for Chat Row. It was funny you guys were talking yesterday about music. Imagine getting into the car with your homeboys. My taste is eclectic, to say the least. They all jump in, and all of a sudden, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds comes on, and everybody's looking at me. I'm like, oh, my cousin must have drove my car. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds with your homies is not cool.
Oh, it's not? Dad, really?
Well, you know, with the homies, man, with the homies, you know. You play Ace How Long, you know, like I said, my musical taste is very eclectic. I'll put on Eleanor Rigby at the drop of a dime, man, with no problem.
But what you're saying is your boys don't like the Beatles.
Well, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, they asking questions. Who is Lucy? Why is she in the sky with diamonds? You know, questions like that, man. And I don't have time to explain the anthology of the Beatles to the brothers. You understand? You know, so sometimes it's just better to say, oh, yeah, somebody else. But I'm a big fan of the Beatles.
What do you have for me?
30-year-old Dan Patrick, I heard you were talking a minute ago. Is there one thing that you want to take a mulligan on, or something that you regret? Because all in all, it appears you landed on your feet. You got your crew with you. Mercedes is paying you to drive a car, and you're doing wonderful things out here. Is there one thing that you regret or would have a mulligan on your career?
Thank you, Jeff. No, because through all of that, it helped me get to where I am. All of those things had to happen for me to get to where I am today. That I didn't have anything handed to me, got kicked to the curb a couple times on jobs, dealt with bosses who I didn't get along with. But, you know, my motto was always, I'm just going to outlast people. I was in it for the long haul at the mothership. Same here. Like, I don't want to go anywhere, do anything else. I like what I do. And I like that at SportsCenter there until, you know, just it felt different. SportsCenter changed. But no, I think you got to go through that adversity. I mean, if you really want it, especially in this business, you're going to go through adversity. If you're talent, you're going to go through some things. And I did, but it made me better. It's not like I can be surprised at anything. I've pretty much seen it all. Not experienced it all, but seen it all. Let me take a break here. We'll come back, and Clark Kellogg will join us coming up next hour. Talk some March Madness here. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Expand your recipe playbook, the 6-in-1 versatility of a Traeger wood pellet grill. The ability to grill, smoke, bake, roast, braise, barbecue, all in one grill. You're sure to score some winning flavors every time. TraegerGrills.com/DP show. Start cooking. Yes, Paulie. What do you want me to
do? Bonus coverage for a Friday, Dan.
What's the bonus coverage?
Our buddy Dan Le Batard just called in.
Dan Le Batard, the artist formerly known as Dan Le Batard. How do I introduce you, Dan?
Well, not formerly. What is this? You go to ESPN, you leave ESPN, and you immediately become formerly? No, I don't want to become formerly anything. You can introduce me by my name as your friend, Dan Le Batard, following in your footsteps, trying to do the pioneering thing of breaking free from the mothership.
Any trepidation when you decided to leave, or now that you left? I bring this up that I came home, made the right move, and then 6 weeks later, I'm at home by myself with the family dog, and I went, oh, I think I just made a terrible mistake. Any of those feelings?
Saturdays are pretty cool right up until every day is Saturday. And then you're like, well, wait a minute, I've lost sense of time. There's always going to be doubt and fear and pain when you leave something comfortable. I have learned later in life, it took me a long time to learn it, that you should generally lean into the fear and the doubt and the pain. It's where you need to be going to get to growth. So it took me a long time to learn that, but it is something to lean into. So, of course, I'm also responsible. You know this, Dan. You and I have talked about this. I'm responsible for a lot of people. I'm responsible for a lot of people I care about. And so it's more of the pressure of that. If not for the pressure that I might already be on a boat somewhere far away from, debating whether or not Chris Paul fits in Oklahoma City.
What exactly are you doing and what are the plans for the future?
It's a very broad question. What I would say is I am vigorously enjoying and taking advantage of the freedom that I did not realize had a great deal of power to it when you are us. Our businesses have been run by middlemen and agents and agencies for a long time. And it's been a bit startling to see once you get outside of the corporate machine, oh my God, there's a whole playground here of people who want to work with you, creatives who want to do stuff with you, who are starved for similar freedom. So I've just seen a lot of instances already where I've been moved, right? As the son of Cuban exiles, I've been moved by freedom being even bigger than I imagined. And freedom has always been the thing I've negotiated. Freedom has always been front of mind. It's always been priority, but to see maximum freedom. You can work with anybody. You can choose anything you want. I don't know that I deserve what it is that is, because it fills me with a great deal of gratitude to be free of all shackles, to be able to speak my mind without any encumbering whatsoever, and to work only the rest of the way, Dan, only with people I like. I don't have to do it anymore. I do not have to work with anybody I don't like the rest of my life. That's not going to happen.
Well, let's name some names here. Do you want to get that out there too?
People I don't like?
Yes.
People I don't like. You go first, given what's the disparagement language in your contract? What are the confidentiality? You know, I left with all my stuff. You know, I got out of ESPN and I was able to leave with all my stuff, right? So yeah. I am not allowed to say bad things about certain people. That was the trade.
You know what I took? I got my ties. All my ties that I wore on the air, that was it.
And you have a lot of them, though.
That's yes.
I don't know if these can be non-fungible tokens now in the new commerce economy that I don't understand, but maybe these ties are worth something, or videos of these ties are worth something.
Yeah. But also, the media landscape is changing. I don't know if it's ever changed this fast.
That's right.
Right? I mean,
it's unbelievable how fast it's changed. I've been amazed by this, Dan. Like, this happened to newspapers, right? The newspapers were throwing yesterday's news on your lawn and asking you to pay for it and giving it to you more immediately on your computer for free. And, of course, it kills newspapers. Radio doesn't pay attention. Television doesn't pay attention. Movies don't pay attention, and all of them get swallowed by the same thing, which is today I get what I want when I want it. I don't live by a television schedule. I don't live by when you want to give me television or radio. I am on demand all the time. And so this is a great time to be free, because this is a golden age of content. And, you know, one of the companies keeping up our economy is Netflix. And the others who want to get into the game are Amazon and Google and everybody else. I was actually surprised to see football and hockey go traditional routes, or largely traditional routes, old school television streaming rights, as opposed to, you know, choosing some of these new models, because this game's going to be totally different in 5 years, Dan, because here comes the gambling money, too. Like, it's like in 5 years, all of this is going to be hugely different than it is right now.
What is the big topic that you guys have been dealing with your podcast? Is there a sports topic that has been front and center?
Our specialty, and no one else can have it, is just narcissistic, ego-soaked navel gazing. That is the number one thing that we do. And as it relates to sports, we enjoy talking about the Miami Heat a lot, because we've, over the last 10 years in Miami, basketball, it's been cool to learn a lot about basketball. Just the measurements, watching, I mean, how long have you been doing this, Dan? It is rare to be watching sports and see whether it's the shift in baseball or the way that the three-point line has dominated basketball, where you see evolutions that make you wonder, hey, how good would Shaq be today? Wait a minute. Andre Drummond went from something I wanted to something I'm not sure I want anymore because everybody is out spread out on the perimeter. Like, you never get to see real-time evolutions in sports or live through them like that, where you realize it, not looking back on it, but watching it in real time.
How's your wife doing?
She's a source of perpetual happiness, my muse, and the reason that I was able to summon the ability to leave the safest platform in sports to jump off a cliff, because I want to follow love and freedom. Thank you for asking, by the way.
Yeah.
The audience should know. Well, I'm not going to even say this on the air. I was going to tell the audience that my wife wishes you were her father, but I would never do that. I don't want to say that on the air. So I'm glad we're not talking about this publicly.
And I, you know, I would sing that Madonna song, I will be your father figure, put your tiny hand in mine. And your wife would then sing along with me. And I,
wildly inappropriate. Stop flirting with my wife. Stop serenading my wife. Stop singing to my wife.
I know.
Make me deeply uncomfortable. More uncomfortable than I was just making her your father. Making you her father.
Was there any thought of not taking Stu Gatz when you left?
Not from my end. There were many thoughts from Stu Gatz of just because I'm William H. Macy in Boogie Nights in terms of my marriage, where I always end up on the parking lot, in the parking lot, and there's Stu Gatz flirting with Golic, you know, like not on my end. I always intended to be with Stu Gatz, but Stu Gatz is, well, you know, you were at the wedding. Didn't he drive you home because didn't he angle for a job with you?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Glad to talk to you, and my best to everybody there, and hopefully we'll cross paths here soon.
I love you, buddy. Always good talking to you. Take care.
That's Dan Le Batard. He's a host, podcast. He's doing a lot of different things. And, you know, you meet his wife, and then you go, how the hell did he get her? And I thought I was the most famous person at his wedding, and then Pat Riley came in. Blew it out of the water. And by the way, Pat Riley looks like Pat Riley in person. He looked great. Final hour coming up. We will talk to Clark Kellogg. We're going to try to get him back. We're talking basketball. Sweet 16, final hour. Dan Patrick Show coming up. One more item as we close out the second hour, rockauto.com. I was on the website last night looking for a part for my 53 five-window Chevy truck. Found it. rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. Founded by automotive engineers, it's a family business. Back in 1999, two goals in mind. Want to let you find out what's in those computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. You can get direct access. And second, making the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. RockAuto.com has all the parts you would expect. Plus, they give you a choice of brands and prices. And they have other things like carpet, Parts for the body of the car, electronics, but you're able to find what you need at rockauto.com. And you don't waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com today and make sure you tell them that we sent you, right? Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com.